Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible is awesome because it addresses everything needful regarding a good, strong, happy life. You will not find any other book in all of history with the authority of God speaking to man, us, about relationships.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Forgiveness. Some of us want to hear it at times, and some of us don't. The Gift of Forgiveness, the feature offer for May by Dr. Charles Stanley. It's a wonderful book. And friends, listen, honestly, we always have great resources for you, but this is extra special. And here's the reason why. We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free. Find out more by getting this special May Resource of the Month offer, The Gift of Forgiveness by Dr. Charles Stanley.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley is our gift to you for your generous donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home, Part 1. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, and as a disclaimer, this particular message may not be appropriate for young listeners, so please take note of that if they're listening along with you. This might not be the message for them. You see, God designed marriage. We're not supposed to change it to suit our own selfish purposes. Paul was dealing with this in his time, as we're dealing with it now in our secular culture. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that many people are determined to redefine the institution of marriage to make it fit the trends in which they're currently caught up. And you know what? It doesn't work. Now, with his message called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we are going to pick it up where we left off last time in our study. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I know that I've played around with you from time to time and said, I would say to you, turn to 1 Californians chapter 7, and boy, that applies right now more than ever. 1 Corinthians or 1 Californians chapter 7 in our Bibles, and if you're new to this study, you might find the intensity and the topics rather shocking. And yet that's the reason why we went to 1 Corinthians, is because of the power that it has toward our age and the time in which you and I live in. And this morning we're looking at a message entitled, God, Marriage, and Divorce. God, Marriage, and Divorce. And we're going to be specifically talking about the dangers of splitting up a home or splitting up a marriage. Why? Because it was so prevalent in Corinth 2,000 years ago. But I got to tell you up front right now this morning, I've got my notes, and I'll stick to my notes, but I am not going to race through my notes. We will get as far as the Lord wills. How about that? Regarding this study today or next week, however long it takes us. But I got to tell you something right now this morning. The topic that we're going to be touching on here, maybe now in the next week, I don't know how long it'll take us. I need you to hear the fact that as a ministry, as a pastor, having a wife, by the way, who's extremely involved in the lives of the women of this church, the situation regarding marriage and divorce in the church is at a catastrophic state. When I say the church, I mean the church of the Lord in America, for that matter. Not just here. We're not exempt from marital issues or problems. And yet this morning, I have got to be very, very careful to not allow the fact that this is going to go on the radio to influence what I say. So having said that, what I'm going to teach this morning is pure Bible. And you might say, you might be tempted this morning by thinking, well, that's 2,000-year-old data. Doesn't apply to my life. Or you might be tempted, listen up, everybody, you might be tempted to be influenced by the culture that you and I live in, that you'll pick and choose what the Bible means or has to say to you regarding the culture that you and I are in. And our culture is not to speak to us about what the Bible means. Do you hear me? Our Bible is to speak into our lives so that we can live through this culture. And so what I'm going to be saying today is about as politically and maybe culturally incorrect as it can possibly be. But church family, understand something right here, right now. That marriage, though it's very, very common and popular, was invented by God. Amen. Even though non-believers get married, they are actually entering into a state, an institution that has been created by the God they don't know. And he has defined it. We are to understand marriage based upon the definition of the one who invented it. We're not to make it up. We do not have that liberty or that freedom. So having said that, remember chapter 6 and the opening of the first 9 verses of chapter 7 had to do with sexual immorality. And we talked about God and sex and marriage in previous studies. Now, Paul is assuming that you know all that, and so he launches now into chapter 7, verse 10. Follow along with me. Now, to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And by the way, you can change the words wife, husband, wife. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, that word rest means to the mixed marriages, to the others, to those who are married to non-believers. That's what that word means, to the rest. I, not the Lord, say, and I'll explain that. If any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him, the Christian, not divorce her, the non-Christian. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, the unbeliever says, I'm out of here, can't take this Christian stuff, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Verse 16, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. That's powerful. Apostolic authority right there. Was anyone called while circumcised? That's Jewish, being a Jew. Did you come to Jesus being Jewish? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? That's a Gentile. A Gentile accepts Christ. Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? By the way, slavery was practiced in the entire world at that time. It's still practiced in most of the world today. Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, who is called while free is the Lord's slave or Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men, brethren. Let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. This is deep stuff, you guys. Serious stuff. I need you to take a deep breath. And I need you to get ready. I need you to get ready to take notes. And I need you to be thinking. You really got to think that this is deep, deep stuff. And I got to tell you, man, The Bible is awesome because it addresses everything needful regarding a good, strong, happy life. You will not find any other book in all of history with the authority of God speaking to man, us, about relationships. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, children, relationships, but the Bible. It's amazing. It's been well said that as the family goes, so goes a nation. And as the nation goes, so goes the world we live in. And is that not true? As a family goes, this concerns me. I have to tell you, outside of God sending a revival to America, personally, I have no hope for the United States for its future without God intervening. Why? Because I don't know if you get a chance to talk with young people. I don't know if you get a chance to go to university campuses or high school campuses. But the dysfunctionalism of the young people of today, 40 years of age and under, is horrific regarding their worldview, regarding what they think about marriage, regarding what they think about family. It's catastrophic. You and I are living in a state which years ago was famous for being the divorce state. Did you know that? California had the highest divorce rate of any state in America. California invented the easy divorce laws. California, Orange County, if you've been married 7.5 years, your marriage is considered a success in Orange County. That's pathetic. But don't anyone fool you. Everyone's got their ups and downs and their challenging times. It's how you handle them. And the young generation today has learned something extremely, extremely proficient at quitting. Giving up. Throwing in the towel. There was a cartoon I saw in preparation for this message, and the father is about ready to give his daughter away. She's all dressed up in her wedding gown. And the father says, "Honey, can you guys make the marriage last long enough for me to pay for it?" Isn't that sad? People go into commitments in our culture because they have been taught or raised up. Well, try your best. And if it doesn't work, just walk away. I want you to know something. God condemns that way of thinking regarding marriage. If that's what you're thinking, don't get married. This is very serious stuff.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so as we get into this study, number one, I want you to mark this down. God, marriage, and divorce. Why is marriage such a big deal? Verses 10 to 13. Will you write that down? It's obviously a question. Why is marriage such a big deal? Why? Our young culture today is saying marriage is no big deal. It's nothing at all. And for some reasons, I'll agree with them. Young people today say marriage is no big deal because I've seen my parents and they're on their second, third marriage. It doesn't matter. The vows don't matter. The rings don't matter. The commitment doesn't matter. Why is marriage such a big deal? God says it's a big deal. Number one reason, listen, it's a spiritual union designed by God. You heard that as the Bishop of Canterbury made presentation. Verses 10 and 11, now to the married I command. Listen to Paul. Imagine Paul right now in his apostolic authority. What about this? He says, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is to not depart from her husband. Why? It's a spiritual union. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. God says it's a holy institution. It's a spiritual union. Listen to this. When you grab toothpaste and you squeeze it out of the tube, try to put it back in. Try someday to put toothpaste back in the tube. It ain't gonna happen. No matter what you might think of marriage, no matter what your estimation of marriage might be, you need to understand this right now. God says it is His creation and it is a spiritual union. And it's a spiritual union even in the sense where two non-believers, if they come together in the state of the institution of marriage, you say, no, but we got married in Vegas, or we got married at the courthouse. We got married. That doesn't matter to God. Do you understand? Church family, listen, it is an institution that someone says, I'm going to enter into it. They may or may not be thinking about God, but God is there. He's the inventor of it. It's like Mr. Mercedes and Mr. Benz. They build a car. And when you get inside that car and you sit inside that car, you have entered into their creation. Or Ford, where I come from, Henry Ford. Right? You enter into that. God says, this is marriage. And church family, right here, I have no jurisdiction over any other people but this church family right here, right now, today, in these services. Number one thing is we need to be praying and seeking God's will and finding out what God's heart is regarding you or me getting married. Very, very serious. Now listen, as we go through this teaching, some of you are going to be very discouraged. Don't be very discouraged. Some of you might be convicted. Let conviction have its healing power. Some of you who, I'm thinking about those who, by the end of the three services last week, so many people had come to know Jesus, their life started over last week, brand new. There will be maybe thoughts today that will arise in your heart and in our next study together that you might say, oh my goodness, this places me outside of God's blessings. And I didn't know that's what I was getting myself into. Or listen, God will speak to us regarding these things. And there's always room, an opportunity for forgiveness if we've made a mistake or if somehow we entered into something not taking it into consideration. But know this from the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 24 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Remember that picture of the toothpaste out of the tube. God says that when a man and a woman commit to one another and they consummate that marriage in body, soul, and spirit, God says in the Bible, and He's not asking for my opinion, and He's not asking for yours. God says that when that happens, they are welded. The word we would use would be today welded. God has welded them together. And to separate them, listen, the word to separate, do you remember when the bishop wrapped that cord around their arms and he says, what God has joined together, let no man separate? That word separate in Greek and Hebrew means to tear part of your flesh out. It means this. Imagine for a moment that something comes into my life and it becomes part of my cheekbone, part of my skin, right here in the side of my face. In fact, you can't even tell. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a pair of pliers that comes and grabs my cheek. And unnaturally, think of it, rips out the side of my face by brute force, and it leaves a gaping, unnatural hole in the side of my face. That is the picture that the Greek and Hebrew words paint regarding a divorce. The Bible calls it putting away, to put someone away. We'll talk more on that as we get into this study. God says it's a ripping of the flesh because I've made them one. That's a horrible picture in our mind, and it's supposed to be a horrible picture. And you got the solemn word of that bishop over that couple. And everything that he said and did was biblical. And that was a 4-minute clip of the entire service, which was very biblically based. Why? God says, I've joined man and women together in that state of marriage. But man has gone out of his way to undermine marriage, redefine it, make fun of it, re-engineer it. Somehow reinvent the institution of marriage. And church, listen, it doesn't work. Marriage is designed by God, and the Bible says for life. For life? Boy, that's ridiculous, says Hollywood. You know, people say that out of their mouths. They say it out of their mouths, but if you talk to them privately, they have a whole different story. Hollywood makes fun of marriage. New York, Madison Avenue makes fun of marriage. And yet people have broken hearts because marriages have either gone awry or they've broken up. And God says, no, I want to work through this. I want to make it happen the way that I've ordained it. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 9, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's that word, and that's the word that that bishop used. Verse 11 says, but even if she does depart, if a believing woman departs from her husband, look what the Bible says. She's to remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. This is the context of two Christians. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian believers, and he says, okay, now that you guys have heard the gospel and both of you accepted the Lord, and now you're a Christian home, and or you were married in the Lord, two believers, you are to make your marriage work. Why? Based on what premise? Based upon what foundation? The fact that you've named Jesus as your Lord. I'm a Christian, I say. But if I don't apply the word of God to my marriage, church family, ladies and gentlemen, visitors, family of God here together, if I say I'm a Christian, but I don't apply the instruction of the Bible to my marriage, listen, there's a great bit of hypocrisy going on in my life. I'm saying one thing, but I'm not applying the very healing balm of the word, balm, B-A-L-M, balm, the healing balm of his word to my marriage. Listen, none of us have been rightly, properly schooled in how to be a husband. None of us have been rightly, properly schooled in how to be a wife. In fact, think about the biggest things that matter. Marriage, life, babies. If you buy a car or a microwave oven, you get more instruction manuals and you get a little tutorial DVD on how to operate your new car. And a baby comes out of the mommy with no DVD, no manual. You're on your own. Have you noticed that? And some people think, well, okay, you want to get married? Cool, let's just get married. This is what a church family's for. This is what the word of God is for. No one should get married. Listen, how many of you are single? Raise your hands. Any single people in here? This is it? Okay, maybe the seven of you ought to meet one another, go on a little date there. Never, never, never. Look, okay, first of all, you're going to meet someone who you're attracted to. That's normal. God did that. Then you're going to start talking to them, and you're going to be discerning. Who is this person? You're getting to know them. As you get to know them, you're going to be making a determination as a Christian. Does he love the Lord? Does she love the Lord? Biggest determination of all, single people, listen, I'm going to give it to you. It's free. No expense. Here it is. Do not commit to someone unless you're impressed with their spirituality. Don't do it. I'm telling you right now, write that at the top of your page. Do not get involved with someone because someone you're going to get involved in will someday be your husband or wife unless you are impressed with their spirituality. Don't even go there. But Pastor, she's so cute. Get your eyes back in your brains here. Come on, reel it in. Does this person love the Lord? Because it's a spiritual union. Marriages. And we're Christians in this context. We're in church. And there's no wiggle room for this. Now listen, let me make this very clear. If you visit this church today and don't come back because the message upsets you, you're going to be missing out on the whole picture in the next few weeks. Because in the next few weeks, Paul is going to say that there are areas, there are situations. Jesus said it for one thing. Jesus said, if there is in the mix of your marriage adultery, then that is grounds for divorce.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So May's featured resource of the month is called what? Go ahead.
It should be called like the bomb or the amazing or the remarkable.
It's good stuff.
It's beyond good stuff. Yeah. It's actually called The Gift of Forgiveness by Dr. Charles Stanley. And I was joking around, but not really.
Yeah.
This is actually the key. Friend, listen, this is the key to major happiness in the Christian life is actually following what Jesus has said and forgiving others. This book is going to walk you through your past, your now, and it prepares you for the future. Davey, it's an awesome resource. And I'm telling you, forgiveness is actually given to us by God to do that we might go free.
So what if you don't want to forgive someone? What would you say to that, Pastor Jack?
Well, let's talk about wanting and feeling that feeling. Yeah. Is we don't feel like forgiving those who have hurt us. We don't feel like it, but we're commanded to. And here's the amazing thing. The moment that we do that, we're not only acting like God, we are following in the footsteps of what Jesus showed us. But here's the great thing. When we realize how much God has forgiven us of our sins, it becomes much more easier to forgive others for what they've done against us.
That's a good point. The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.